But he just went back to, he, I think he went on his own because he was a damn good man. He played more, I mean, let's say, Bill was pretty legitimate, you know, Bill Prenz.
Yes.
But this fellow played a full piano. It wasn't
oh.
really hotness in the, but it is more rather with a jazz feel to his playing, and I really admired his playing, and I learned a lot from him too.
What was his name?
And I can't remember his name right off. Did I mention it? It has a click. But I would have it in later in some other data is necessary. Well, of course, Howdy was one of the ones that remained to write straight through to the end.
Yes.
And Bill ranked it. But that's all. first trumpet, not first trumpet, but... Oh, that's a pianist. Sure, that's the other pianist. Pianist, sure. Well, the picture's so small, as you can
yes.
see, and enlarged from this original, which was bigger, of course. Now, that about disposes of it. Now, here is the next picture when we start. We had a wire from WGM, the Detroit news station, WWJ, from the time I was in, from the time the place opened. Now, this is a clipping I had from the paper. Now, I have a bigger picture that's easier. I'm not really going to read the print in that. Do you think you could read it there? I can. I can't read it.
Detroit News Studios.
No, and I mean the splurge here, the personnel and everything. If not, I have a bigger picture.
Oh, sure.
I can dig out later.
Okay.
Read it, and I'll tell you.
Oh, sure. It has the personnel here. Personnel includes Charles Horvath, drums; William Krentz, piano; Quicksil, banjo; Rank, trombone; Ray Lodwick, trumpet; Don Murray, saxophone; Stan Riker, Doc Riker, saxophone; Freddie Farrar, trumpet; Walter Henry, bass; George Crozier, trombone; yourself, piano; Jimmy Dorsey, saxophone; Charles Hamill, violin.
Now, this shows that Vision's
I
guess you read this.
Yeah, Fred Farrar in there.
Yeah. This summertime, when the summer advanced, Charlie Horvath rented a college out in Grosse Pointe, which is right on Lake St. Clair, see.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, at that time, sort of looked after the place. And Doc Riker, Howdy Quicksell, myself, and let's see who else was it? I guess that's all that came out there and stayed, because maybe the rest of the others, and Charlie Horvath, of course. I mean, we were there for the whole summer, and now, as the summer was beginning to near its end, we started preparing for the new season.
Yes.
And so the first one that comes along, and then he joined and came out and stayed with us, was Don Murray.
Okay.
Don Murray was from Chicago, and a hot man. He was hired because of tenor saxophone alone. Well, again, this was in the tryout period.
Uh huh. Yes.
And he couldn't read. If you'd call it reading, I don't know whether you get a piece of it, but he played one hell of a tenor saxophone, and just like the other guy, Vogel, in the earlier picture, played great too, but he didn't play, Vogel didn't play the Chicago style, which was really better at that time. However, Doc had bought a clarinet and was going to learn to play clarinet. He just had played allo. But he had sort of let it aside and put it aside. Don Murray barred that clarinet. And this guy had a facility on that instrument later that you wouldn't believe, that he just picked it up there and He might have tried to play before, but oh, he squeaked. In fact, one of the first recordings we made in that, it's the blues. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you have that record? It's the blues?
No, I've looked for it. It's on
Victor. Oh, well, I got it. Anyhow, I'll give you a copy because it's a classic. He squeaked on it, but they passed the record just the same. And I transferred it to tape here, the recording of it with it was a 10-inch record. And I transferred to a recording, and I cut out just the four bars that had the squeak, and then nobody would know about it. So it's a nice record now without that squeak. The embarrassed gone, that you'd be alive. Maybe you're in hell or where, heaven. I don't know which one. there's a picture of Don. Yes. That's what he's doing. And all right, Don was the first new entries, and he stayed out the late with us, and the. And he, now here's the remarkable thing that about him. He couldn't read then. And they told him that, for the summer season it'd be all right, but I mean, with his lack of reading knowledge, it was a handicap when we ever got to the arrangements, which yes. We weren't playing there. And the guy wanted to stay with that band tremendously, and you know, he learned to read acceptably before that, in that 6 weeks or maybe 7-8 weeks before. He so improved, not improved, he had to learn to read. He couldn't read a damn thing. He just had to go play by ear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he had an ear like very few people I've ever heard, and fast studied. And a very interesting personality. He was not a graduate, I think, but he spent about 3 years at Northwestern University. And he was a son of a minister. And I met his father. He came up to this one later. But anyhow, that I'll never forget that, how he learned to play clarinet, he learned to read. And stayed with the band, of course, from then on, until the band broke up.
Yes.
And now, the next to come into the picture. No, wait. Yeah, and the next was Freddie Farrar.
Yes.
We got him from the Scranton Sirens.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Freddie was such a wonder. Oh, gee. I'm really afraid he was let's say he was the first one that we knew that was going to stay because Don was on. Notice, you might say, that he wasn't going to be there, but Fred came out, and I don't think, did Fred stay out the lake with us? It was pretty proud, I guess he did, but no, he didn't, because Jimmy Dorsey was the next one to come out, and we took him from the Scranton Sirens, too. When Freddie got there, of course, he plugged Jimmy, he was a good man and all that, and so the next thing I know, Jimmy, who I played with, you know, in that Coal Region District.
Yeah.
He was out there, and he stayed out at the cottage somewhere, bunked somewhere or other. I guess probably not.
Tommy wasn't with the band. Joined first.
Joined first, but that's always a classic in the business. If Jimmy took another job, it wouldn't be too long before Tommy would be fine. Well, I mean, first of all, he's a good man, Tommy. He wasn't as good as he later became. Neither was Jimmy, but Jimmy was very good. Jimmy could read quite reasonably well, but Tommy was a slow reader, but then he learned to read fine.
When did Tommy join the band?
Well, I'll show you in the next picture, I guess. The progression to the next picture will show. We're through with that, and we turn to this one. Now the people there's of course.
I read that off.
I was going to tell you about the new personality, if there's any. Well, Ray Ludwig.
Yes.
He had left us during the summertime and went back to Ralph. Ralph Williams. And Bill Kranz did too. Bill uh-huh. Kranz left because they went back to play in the riverboat. They liked that. They had been doing that for years, and of course they could take it either in the summertime because the band was we couldn't play the range or anything that bad with the pickup guys we had. And all right, now here's Ray Ludwig is back again. This is not November the 7th, as you see.
Right.
The fall season is now underway. And Irish Henry, the tuba player, now came and joined the band. And the old gent went back to Chicago. I guess he figured I'd rather be home. And Irish came in, and damn good tuba player. Not sensational, but well, just good, let's say. He uses tuba for at that time. He didn't play string bass. Many times they used to double notes, but no, all he played was tuba. There's Bill Rank. Now there is the ranger. I told you. I ought to remember his name right off, but for some reason now it's blocked on me. Where in the hell is it? George Crozier. Mm-hmm. He was one of the finest rangers I ever heard of. And certainly the finest I've heard. He had made some range for Paul Whiteman, and he also had been a ranger and playing. He was a hell of a good trombone player, a finished trombone player, and yet he could. And here, incidentally, he got in. Now, this is, again, I don't like to push myself too much in this thing, but this is true. I bought a record that it was just a recording combination, and I got it because it had a damn good trombone solo in it. And I brought it, this is when we were out at the lake still, and I brought the record out there, and I was somebody's West Melody Boys or Golden Melody Boys, just a recording name, men who are around New York.
You bought this record though?
I bought it, it was just one of
those. You remember the tune?
Yeah, it's a girl's name, Georgette, was it? I think there was a tune out at that time called Georgette, I believe it is. Anyhow, it was a girl's name on the tune. And it was a nice, flighty tune, I bought it in one of those drugstores at that time. They used to sell them for 39 cents, and these brown composition, I forget the name of the company. But anyhow, I was delighted, and I played it, and naturally for the gang out there, and Charlie heard that trombone player too. Now, we needed a new trombone player, see? To come with Bill for the two trombones. We were still keeping the two trombone set up for the fall. Uh-huh. And actually, they were considering Roy Maxson, too. You know, did you ever hear of him?
No,
Roy Maxson? That's another orchestra that was a fine orchestra that played up in the Oriole Terrace. It was formed for the Oriole Terrace in 1923, it would be, yeah. 1923, and Roy Maxson played there, and he was considered a great trombone player at that time, but he was a good command of the instrument, but he used to have a couple set chords. I remember he used to have a chorus in, I think he made it in recordings too, on Sand, which was a great fake tune at that time.
Lindsay McPhail wrote
it. That used to be the jobbing. That's the first time I heard it, was when we went to Detroit. And that was a fake tune in the jobbing days. Everybody
played Sand.
Sand and a couple of them, I could tell you. Hot Stuff was another one by Eddie Ward. Eddie Ward was in Detroit at the time.
What about Red Hot?
Hot Stuff. Another fake tune was Hot Stuff.
You know, I'd like to ask you about this. I've looked in all the jazz discographies, and there's a recording that I found that I have a tape of Red Hot by Vin Pollack's Venice Ballroom Orchestra. It's just a tape.
Uh-huh.
But this book's, it was made before their Victor record, supposedly out here. Red Hot.
Yeah, I know
Fud Livingston's on it.
Oh, he is? That's right. He was in that, and he's arranging, I guess, too, for it. And I believe Glenn Miller was on it, too. Benny Goodman was clarinet.
Right, but this was before they joined. Ross Dugat was on trombone.
Oh, yeah.
This is before. And Flood Livingston on clarinet, Martin Pepe on trumpet.
I never heard anybody call him Martin.
He's the one. He's the one who identified the musicians on that record for me. He was on it.
Yeah, I see. And you said that Ben Pollock was a drummer, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's first. I first heard of Ben Pollock.
You're talking about those men in the band. Don Murray learned how to read, so he stayed.
Yeah. And now Charlie didn't like that hot trombone, and he knew he must be a good man. Because I think he had credit for the arrangement. No, he didn't. It wasn't, because Charlie found out when he inquired about this man that he was also a fine arranger.
Oh, what was his name?
Crozier, George Crozier.
Yes.
And George, next thing you know, I was the most surprised guy in the world. There's George Crozier out there joining the band, both in a capacity of arranging and also playing trombone.
Uh-huh.
That was, well, as you can see, they're both two trombone players there. Now there's Howdy, of course. Now Bill Kranz did come back after the summer, and so did Ray Ludwig there.
Yeah.
They came back after the Ralph Williams boat season finished, because they had been going enough for so long they didn't like it. Now Jimmy Dorsey had come out and joined the band.
Yes.
And there now Charlie Hamill, the violinist, is back, is still there. I mean, I don't think he was in the other picture that I pointed out, because he was probably taking.
And there's Doc.
And Doc is still there.
And Don Murray.
And Don Murray now.
And he learned how to read so he could stay with the band.
Between that time and November, he had learned that he could. He was slow. He'd have to take the arrangements, but he'd take the parts, but then it wouldn't be so good when we rehearsed it the first couple times. But then he'd take it down in the musician's room we had in the basement, right in the back of the bandstand, and he'd work it out. And I'm a son of a gun. He had a nice tone and phrased legitimate. And of course, his clarinet playing now had become. And I think that's what decided him when they saw him come ahead in that clarinet. We didn't have a hot clarinet ever before that.
Uh-huh.
And
do you want to? Are we getting to this picture now? The first recording.
That'll be no. That.
It should be.
No, that won't be the next. I'll show that in a minute. Well, we finished this picture anyhow. Now that's the band the way it was in November.
Yes.
Now it was supposed to be reasonably set. That was a combination that could acquit itself very well. They didn't have to get anybody else. But now here's where I was out of the band for about 4 or 5 weeks. Oh, and I have to thank Don Murray. You know, goddamn friendship in this. And Don, I guess now, because both of you called me from Chicago, and Charlie and everybody, and I knew all of them. Now here, this was taken in the broadcasting studio. We went down to WWJ did the broadcasting for this special occasion. We had a wire right to the ballroom, but this was some special thing. Well, there's Howdy Quixell still with us. There's Bill Kranz still with us. Now, there is Harold Fair from Chicago.
Yes.
Piano, and you'll notice my conspicuous, I'm being conspicuous by my absence. Don, he was a pal of John, of Don Murray's when they were going to Northwestern, and a good pianist. And he also, now, which I wasn't. I wasn't an arranger at that time. Well, you couldn't depend on me how long it would take to do it, but I was starting to arrange, and I made a couple little cut and paste, and not really great jobs, but good enough. The band played them, and I guess they corrected the wrong notes and everything. I used to copy myself and all. Now, Harold Fair was plugged because not only was he a good pianist, not as good as, he wasn't the feature pianist, he wasn't supposed to be the feature pianist, but he also was an arranger.
Where were you? You weren't with the band then?
Nope, I was bumped out. Harold made nice arrangements. They weren't sensational, but he did come there, and he made a few arrangements,
What happened with you, though?
just eased out. That's all. I guess the...
What did they give you, notice or what?
Oh, gave me notice, and I guess I went to the jobbing band that Colquitt had. Yeah, that was probably it, but I could job around other places too. I know it was only a period, it couldn't have been more, maybe only a month, but whatever it was, they figured, Jesus, he didn't contribute that much. I was really a better pianist than he was.
Oh. What did you do during that month?
Just jobbed around. Okay. I didn't... Oh, yeah, I did get a supper. That's where I got the supper session job. I had that, and then I also jobbed after he had a band, and he played society things. So I was working, but
yes.
The next thing I know, Charlie comes to me and says, "Well, Paul, you want to come back?"
Horvath wanted you back.
Yeah, it says, because first of all, I knew the rings they had and everything else, and
yes.
and he just didn't merit it enough. And now, because here's another thing happened here. Now, oh, forgot about it. Now here's what happened. Colquitt now decided to make changes in this group here that had been set, because he leased another ballroom in Woodward Avenue, some distance up near the boulevard, some considerable distance. I forget what the name of it was. The big dance. I believe it was combined in the hall of some kind. But anyhow, he made it into a ballroom. And he took several people up. He took, Charlie Hamill was sent up there, and I wasn't. I don't know who the other guy was. Maybe it was a piano leader up there.
Wouldn't he have had to get a lot more men to fill that job up there besides that?
Sure he did. I don't remember him because I never was up there. I never went up there to hear the band.
You came back to the main band, though.
I came back to the band, which you'll see in the next picture again. Right?
Okay.
It couldn't, I say, been more than 6 weeks, and I don't think it was that long because I was already say, broken up about the damn thing because that was the great best band I ever played with.
Yes.
And
so Charlie asked you to come back.
Charlie asked me to come back, and then I remained there with the Colquitt organization at the Greystone until they opened the new Book Cadillac Hotel, where they had, which you'll see a picture later down there. And that was a fine band, too, with men you can show you there. There's Freddie Farrar. And Ray Ludwig.
Yeah, that's the band without you.
And Bill Rank. Where the hell is it? What the hell? They didn't have I know how that was.
Do you know any other musicians that are still living out here? You know, Martin Pepe lives here, and you mentioned that other guy. Anybody else still living around here? Played in those bands or anything?
Well, I probably do right offhand. I'd have to stop and think
I got in contact with Jack McTaggart and Pepe, but I haven't run across any others.
I'm trying to think of some of the old timers that we chew the rag every time we get together, but I think they're all
Friedman
gone.
Is still living?
No, he died. Last time I saw him,
he lived in Beverly Hills or something? When did he die, though?
Oh, that's got to be 4 or 5 years ago now.
What about Jack Fulton? Is he still living?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
At the party that I gave when they showed that picture.
Where does he live?
The game.
Here or something?
No, San Diego.
He lives
or
in
down
San
south,
Diego.
Anyhow. Okay. I thought it was San Diego.
Okay.
And we knew each other from before, but not, we never played together. And,
Fritz Putzier was there too.
Yeah,
I got him to autograph my thing. That was great.
Yeah,
my little program. He is the one who had his picture taken with Vix, the famous one. He was the one he was holding his saxophone.
Yeah, I think I remember the picture. I probably have it someplace. But, to get back, tell you what this was. Crozier became so valuable for his arrangements, in spite of the great trombone playing he did, that they took him off the playing end of it, but that wasn't until after the next picture that this one, well, the one that, yeah, that one,
okay.
Yeah. Is he still on? Yeah, no, Tommy's, no, I see how it is. Now Jimmy was here, and as I tell you where Jimmy went, his brother sooner or later showed up.
Whoop.
Crozier's writing the arranging. Tommy gets the wire, come and join, and he did. And he's not there yet, see.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Irish Henry, now there's Doc Liker, Jimmy, and Don Murray, Horvath, Charlie. Well, that takes care of that picture.
Okay.
Now here, these are when they're fresh from the cold crackers.
Yes.
Look at Tommy. Will you? This is an old Saxon automobile that Don Morey bought, and we all lived in the Billinghurst Hotel, which is right around the corner from the Greystone Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they parked that out right outside the place, and finally it went so sour that they had to leave it there. Never did get it repaired. I don't know who hauled it away finally, but that's. Of course, right after Jimmy came in, I took the picture there. I had the camera and took the picture.
So that's after they joined the band? So?
Yeah, sure. This is not Detroit. I mean,
uh-huh.
And
now you're getting to this picture.
Yes. Now let me see this. Is that to see?
That's right before the recording band, isn't it?
Well, it's Joe Ganuti's there now.
Where?
Yeah. It'll be the same. No, that isn't because. Brewster wasn't the trumpet player.
Okay.
This is the recording.
Okay,
band.
Now we're going through the big picture up here. There's yourself at the left, Joe Venuti.
Right. Doc Riker.
Freddie
Farrar.
The tuba player.
I blacked on him again, but I just mentioned his name. The same one as over here. Irish Henry.
Irish Henry gave this other trumpet player.
Now, this is not Ray Ludwig had just left to go with Ray Miller at this time, and hadn't had a replacement until Red came here. It's in the later picture.
Mm-hmm.
Red Brewster. He was just an accountant in the for the Greystone in the office, the business office of the Greystone Ballroom, and we got him, gave him a trumpet to sit there, so he's not a musician.
Oh, so that guy isn't even a musician.
No.
Do you remember his name or anything?
Yeah, Alex Wadler.
Okay, so he wasn't just to have the second trumpet man. Okay.
Yeah, he just to fill out the picture. We had two
trumpets. He wasn't a musician then.
Nope, none.
Okay, who's this?
We gave him a bar or tuxedo. Sit in with him.
Okay.
Before tuxedo,
okay, who's that? That's
who?
Where's
that?
The drummer. Here.
Yeah, Charlie Horvath.
Yeah. That's Jimmy Dorsey, Bill Rank.
Frank, yep. Now
Tommy. Don Murray. Howdy.
Yep. Now there's Dewey Bergman.
Okay, that's
he came
piece.
In now to follow.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, this is how that happened. I was going to say, Bill Krenz. As in this picture here, Bill Krenz was a pianist in here, and they only had one pianist, I guess, at that time. Yeah. But no, that's Harold Fair. I say Harold Fair didn't pan out too well.
Uh-huh.
See, I mean, in their estimation, and they decided they needed a stronger pianist, I guess, or something. They got Dewey Bergman, who's the fellow I said I first heard back in Reading, Pennsylvania,
yes.
When he was with Earl Fuller, and I thought he was the greatest pianist I ever heard, and he was good. I mean, he played a style, of course, it was different now. He's still alive, at least he was a year or two ago.
Where does he live?
New York City.
Oh.
He went with Lombardo when they expanded their band, and he didn't play piano, he just arranged for them.
Okay.
And He was very successful. He was them, I guess, for years and years.
Well,
all right.
Once we can cut it here, because we got to the first recording banner.